Good morning, Linda Perkins.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. I'm Marianne Myers, for those of you who don't know and are even vaguely interested. Linda Perkins and I are here to talk about food. And I'm searching for a new, a more seasonal sort of theme song to use for the winter months of talking about food. And that was Texas Cooking by Guy Clark. But clearly, we don't need to go as far as Texas.
Well, I don't know. Texas was weird yesterday. You know, it was like 87 and then it was 11 degrees. And I'm kind of feeling the same way.
We can stick with the tomato song.
I know. I don't have an apron on because I looked in my apron drawer and I didn't have one that was waterproof and made of wool. Like with a hood. I'm going to have to go see Becky Tonkin.
Really? No kidding.
It's so cold.
Oh, my gosh. I know. But you know what? I will take the rain over the ice any old day.
Yeah.
Any old day.
Yeah.
It's so familiar, you know.
Yeah.
We're launching off into mildew season now. So it's kind of reassuring.
Only it were edible.
Yeah, I know.
We grow it so well.
Oh, my God. Don't give anybody any ideas. Really, seriously.
Sorry.
So... what are you going to – I know that – tell us what happened with the big bake sale that we talked about last time, because it has come and gone.
Yes, and I am relaxing.
Oh.
Linda Relaxing Perkins. It went really well. Boy, there were a lot of people. There were a lot of cookies. There were a lot of pies. Thank you, Marianne. Lots of everything. And can I say what we made? I don't know.
I think that you can, because we're not talking about a price or anything.
Okay.
We're talking about how much money this community raised to support the Clatsop Animal Assistance League.
Yeah, just because public radio has rules. $31,000 in a community of 10,000 people.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
And that's is that just the bake sale?
No, that's everything, because we have sponsors that match money.
Right.
But that's just a lot of money.
Yes,
and,
it is.
Yeah, I was really, really happy. Such
and that's
a generous
a lot
community.
Of medical care for animals who need it.
Yep. Yep. It'll be at least a third of their annual budget. So,
that's
and then the fundraiser besides, you know, they had a raffle and all that did really well too. So it was just a great day. It was really, really awesome.
Yay. And are you all baked out? Are you making cookies for Christmas?
Why, no.
Well, I know that just days after that gigantic thing that you work on for months of the year, you did a wedding.
And not a whole wedding, holy cow, but a wedding cake, which was hard enough because it's not something that I do and it's not something I know how to do. So I had made a wedding pie before, woohoo! And then I'd made a wedding cake out of a box cake mix. And then I had added some, almond extract to make it special. And then I'd used a big giant M-tip to just put some big roses on the cake. But this was something that was supposed to look kind of like fabric ribbons. And it was so hard. And so I don't know. I think if somebody ever comes to you and they say, hey, do you want to do this giant thing you don't know how to do? You should say no. No, that's my advice. Because the day before, Friday night, the wedding was Saturday. Friday night, I was literally despondent. I could not figure it out. And we'd done tests. My friend Jerry helped me a lot. We'd done tests and we'd figured out how to do it. And then when we finally had all our fondant made, we couldn't do it. It didn't work. And so finally, 11:30 at night, I figured out that I could use my pasta roller and then roll really thin strips. And then it did look like fabric, and that was just a revelation. But it was so close to not working, just to having a big lemon cake, you know, slabs of it. Hope you like it. It's square, you know, to cut up. And so, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
it was an emotional roller coaster.
It's in the rearview mirror.
Yay!
Lesson learned.
Yeah.
The concise lesson is no.
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 I think we should all practice at home.
Yeah, we should all practice that. And the odds of you and I actually learning that, very, very slim. So what are you cooking these days?
Well, I've been thinking about Christmas. And I am embarrassed to say that I have had so much feedback from the last show when you asked me what I was cooking for Christmas or making for Christmas. And I said, reservations. But, I mean, so many people are like, yeah, right on. And it's so funny because they listen to a home cooking show and they're like, you go, girl. You know? But I was thinking about, you know, what I typically cook for holiday dinners or dinners around holidays. And one thing that I like to cook is just a standing rib roast, you know, prime rib, a bunch of rib eye steaks glued together. And do you have a method that you do that you like?
I don't do anything really exotic. I mean, that particular piece of meat is so wonderfully mm-hmm. fabulous
yeah.
that I think the less you mess with it, the better off it is. So I just, you know, use some seasoning and roast it. I don't have a magic.
I don't have a magic thing, but I stumbled on this method that I really, really like. So what to do is, what is it called? I think it has the word king, but, you know, I can't remember words anymore. And I have a, you know, I'm part of a radio show. Yay. So, but where
we
you
can't see you pantomime it
know,
out.
I know.
First letter.
So sad. Where you're like, they give you the roast, but it's like cut under the bones. So the bones are really easy to get off, but you still roast it with the bones on and it's all tied together. Whatever that's called, it has a word. Look it up. But I open that up and I just put a whole bunch of garlic in there. And I mean probably like 20 squished up cloves, a lot. I just slather it. And then seasoning salt. But then I heat up my oven to 400 degrees. And then I put it in a roasting pan on a rack with the bones down. And it's all tied together because of how I have the bones loose like that, because it's just easy come dinner time. And then, but it's always so much better when it's roasted with the bones.
That's right.
So heat it to 400. And then I put it in the oven and I turn it down to 375. And it's just I have it a little bit higher so that the oven doesn't have to work to get back up to 375. So then it should be just right at 375. And I leave it that way for an hour. And then I turn it off for 3 hours. You do not open it up. You put a big old sign on
really?
The oven. Keep yourself out of this. Do not open up this oven because people will open it up to look. Oh, it looks so delicious. And then you time it so that about 30, 40 minutes before dinner time, you turn your oven back on to 375. And then it turns out, oh, and you leave it in like 30, 40 minutes.
Okay.
And it turns out pretty much medium rare, 40 minutes closer to medium. And it's just a really good foolproof method. The whole thing is just so juicy and tender. The outside, you'd think it'd just be pale and horrible, like gray from that treatment. But it's very roasted and caramelized and beautiful. And it's just a really, really easy way to do it. For me, it's really foolproof also. And I've experimented. It does not matter the size of the roast. It can be, you know, practically the width of your oven, or it can be a little teeny tiny two-bone roast, and it still works. And I think it's because the little tiny two-bone roast loses heat a lot faster in the big giant open oven, so that, and I've even tested this because I'm such a geek, and I'll just stick, you know, a thermometer in there so I can see after 3 hours what the temperature is, and it'll be a lot lower for a smaller roast than a bigger roast. So the bigger roast, even though it's the same time, it is being kept at a higher temperature, so it cooks at the same rate, if that makes
any
sense.
It's magic.
Yeah, that's it. It's
and
magic.
I don't why wouldn't that work for any kind of roast?
You know, I don't know. I haven't tried it for any other kind because I assume that the temperature and the time is meant for not like a pork loin that's about yay big around.
Right,
see
right,
my
right.
hands, America? Rather Astoria. Or, you know, something that big. I haven't tried it with another one. But yeah, so it's heat up your oven to 375 essentially, but I do it a little hotter because I know I'm going to have the door open, shoving that roast in. So heat the oven up to 375, cook the roast for 1 hour, turn the oven off for 3 hours, and turn it back on for 30 minutes medium rare, 40 minutes medium.
Okay.
And then serve it.
I'm going to try it.
It works.
I'm going to try it.
And it is such a holiday thing, you know.
Yeah.
Standing rib roast.
Oh, no, I know. It's dramatic.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
it
like
really
heavy
is.
Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
It makes people feel special.
Uh-huh.
Unless they're vegetarians.
It does.
Oopsie.
Well, saying that you put like 20 cloves of garlic in there makes me think that I've been planning to just do a roast chicken. There's only two of us.
No, but that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. But I think that I was thinking this morning that I might do the 40 cloves of chicken 40 cloves instead.
Ooh.
With all that garlic because it's just so good. And anything that has white wine, mm-hmm. cognac, and heavy cream in it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just give me a mashed potato and hold the chicken.
It makes me want to yell Santa.
So I did talk via text to the fabulous Wendy D'Agostino this morning, who is the kitchen coordinator at North Coast Food Web, and she is going to put a link to Ina Garten's recipe for that up on our website, northcoastfoodweb.org. It's probably already there. I like her recipe for that because it is relatively quick. Mm-hmm. It's not a long braise, and it is just so. It's like the standing rib roast in that it is so deluxe. Mm-hmm. And it makes the kitchen smell so good. Yeah. Yes.
It's a holiday.
So the shorthand for it, if you cook all the time and you don't really need a recipe, you just need like an ingredient list. And this is one of those recipes that qualifies for that, is that you just need she does it for like 6 or 8 people, and she does it with 2 chickens. But, up to you. Anyway, you want to cut them in pieces. They're not whole chickens. It's not a roast chicken kind of deal. And then you just need salt and pepper and some butter and some olive oil and some cognac and some white wine, fresh thyme if you've got it, and a little bit of flour for the roux and some heavy cream. And you're just you're using like 3 whole heads of garlic. You don't actually have to count to 40.
Okay.
You just want 3 whole heads of garlic. And she does this by dumping them into boiling water and for a second and then pulling them out, because it makes it really easy to peel them. You can also do it really quickly in the microwave.
Or you can just buy them peeled. What? That's what I do.
You can buy them peeled. And you can use roast garlic for this if you want to just put 3 heads in the oven, you know, the day before or earlier in the day, and then just like, toothpaste them out into the – however you want to do it, you need 3 heads of garlic. And you just season the chicken with salt and pepper. And in a like a big pot, you're going to saute it until it's brown on both sides and pull it out. And then and you want to do that with the skin on, so you get that really nice crispy, even if you end up pulling the skin off later because you're, you know, like want to be healthy or something.
But I'm just going to have the heavy cream.
I'm just going to have the heavy cream with the skin, really. But anyway.
But no, it's nice when stuff browns up like that. Just how we were talking about the roast. You don't want it gray, and you don't want chicken to be like, you know, skin colored. I mean, all pasty and weird. It's just more visually appealing, even if you take it off and you don't eat
yes.
it. You want it to be visually appealing.
Yep. I think my epitaph is going to say, we tried to warn her. Because I just want cream, butter, and as much booze as you can possibly squeeze in there and still have it taste good. Anyway, so you're going to brown it and take it out and put it on a plate, set it aside, and then you're going to deglaze the pan to get all that good stuff off the bottom with a little bit of the cognac and the wine, and let it kind of come up to a boil again in the pot. And stick drop the thyme in, like thyme leaves, and put the chicken back in and simmer it for about a half hour, just until it's tender and lovely and not red inside. And then you take it out, put it on a platter, and thicken the sauce. So you're going to make a roux with a little bit of the sauce out of the pan and some flour, and then whisk it back in and simmer it with the rest of the cognac, because it's only really like 3 tablespoons of cognac, and you're going to save the last tablespoon to make the sauce.
Okay.
So the first two tablespoons are already in, and you add the cream and kind of whisk it until it's however thick you like it to be, and put the chicken back in. It is so good.
And it sounds really special. It sounds like a holiday.
It's lovely. Yeah. And it is really the yummiest gravy ever, ever, ever.
So this is probably obvious to you and everybody out there, but I am all about, like when I said that thing about, you know, buying the cloves peeled.
Yes.
You know, for 40 cloves, I'm going to do that. I don't want to go through that. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a million things I've forgotten. I don't want to spend that time doing that. And there's, I'm sure, easy ways to do it, but no, I'm just going to buy them that way. And another thing, and this is the thing you probably all know, but pretty much any herb I'm trying to think of, a fresh herb, I'm trying to think of an exception. But you can just throw the whole stem into the pot.
Yes.
And then the leaves just kind of cook off of it. And then you pull the stem out. And then you don't have to do all that leaf plucking. If any of you are leaf pluckers, stop it. You don't have to. Go do something else and throw that stem in. Like, the only thing I can think is rosemary, if you wanted to chop it off. But there's nothing easier to get off the stem than rosemary. You just start at the top and you go, brrrt, and you rip your fingers down and they're off. So that would be the only thing if you wanted to chop it. But little teeny tiny leaves like thyme, oh, they're so hard to pluck off. Just
they
throw
are.
That whole, all those stems in there. And then it'll cook off, and then pull the stems out, and voila, you've saved yourself that amount of time that otherwise you never would have gotten back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you would later wish you had spent it in some other way. However, I will say that if you grow your own herbs, I have discovered with thyme that if I am snipping off an older branch of thyme where the stem is really woody, mm-hmm. and not green, it can be a little bit bitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you can also zip the leaves off of thyme the same way you do off of rosemary.
Okay.
By just...
Well, see, because I always get those subside branches. That never works for me.
Oh.
It's always, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, they do have those little ones, and you have to kind of like break them off and then strip each one.
Yeah.
I know, and thyme leaves are tiny, mm-hmm. and kind of a pain in the patoot, but there is no substitute, and dry thyme is not a substitute for thyme, I don't think.
Yeah, no, uh-uh.
It's one of those things like dried basil where you mm-hmm. just don't even...
Dried cilantro.
Yeah, don't even. Don't even. Just don't even. It won't be, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Dried oregano I love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
a lot
fresh...
of dried herbs I love, but not those three.
Yeah.
I just don't think that they are interchangeable.
Yeah.
I think the dried may add something, but it's not what you expect it to be when you think of the fresh herbs. So,
It just adds green.
Yeah, there you go. So, I don't know what else you're cooking. I'm in the mood to do flank steak, but before we talk about that, if you could see what's going on in the studio at any given moment, you would just be like, "Wow, these women are insane." But thanks to Linda pointing at the clock, I am reminded to remind you that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. This is Food Talk, which is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with Linda Perkins. We're talking about home cooking.
You said flank steak.
I'm in the mood for flank steak.
Oh, yeah. Hey, do you cook a lot of those flat iron steaks?
I have hardly cooked any of them.
I really like them, and I think of flat iron and flank steaks as real similar.
Yeah.
But that flat iron, usually it's about a pound. And so you don't have to buy that big, giant, side o' cow.
Yeah.
That giant muscle. And I really like it. But how are you doing your flank steak?
I just like to marinate it because I want to cook it really fast.
Okay.
And so I like to marinate it ahead of time with, sometimes something as simple as like a Dijon vinaigrette.
Oh, yeah.
Poured over it.
Yeah.
Or sometimes a dry rub, but I really like to just be able to grill it and then cut it in strips and roll it in a tortilla with, really good salsa.
Yes. Onions and cilantro. That's all it takes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really in the mood for that.
Yeah. That's not very Christmassy, though.
Hey. I'm not really the Christmas girl, in case anybody hasn't noticed by now. I'm not really the Christmas girl. So,
somebody said something the other day that really kind of struck a chord with me. Oh, and this could be filed under bah humbug. So prepare yourself, all you guys out there sipping cider. But they said that Christmas is feeling less like a holiday and more like a deadline.
Ooh.
Isn't that awful?
I think that's the fault of the marketing machine.
Yeah. And so, that really resonated with me. And so I am being so careful, just the last couple of days since I heard that, just not to feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. So you asked me if I'm making cookies. Yes, my friend Jerry's coming over today.
Aww.
We're going to make cookies, but it's going to be fun cookies. It's not the 1,000 dozen that we made together for the animal shelter or anything. It's no pressure.
A thousand dozen.
Yeah. So many cookies. We actually probably made more than that, but we're just gonna have fun, and we're not gonna even make them, make a specific amount for a bunch of people or anything. We're just going to goof around with the fondant that we have left over from the wedding and just see if we can make some fondant fronted cookies just for fun. And so I think that I'm just going to, in the next week, try to have fun. And if I could, like, impress anything upon you, if you're the kind of person that you are going to go all out for Christmas dinner, you're going for it, you're doing the biggest, best thing you can, just even though it feels kind of regimented, just make a list, figure out what you're going to make, figure out a timeline so that you can cut your vegetables and stick them in a Ziploc the day before. So if you can make your gravy this or some kind of salad or some kind of fruit thing the day before, dessert the day before, anything you can do ahead of time, do that so you can have enjoy your family the day of. And appetizers go a long way. And it could be something like you buy a jar of pepper stuffed with goat cheese, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be something super labor intensive, but just having something for people to nosh on, that goes a long way. And just try to have a good holiday and not let your cooking, making the dinner, cleaning it up, wreck it. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I am resistant to that across the board for holidays of any kind.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the middle of winter is fraught, as far as I'm concerned, with every kind of religious holiday, every uh-huh. kind of seasonal holiday, every kind of shopping holiday. Really, quite frankly, December is ruined. And so I think, you know, what my husband and I celebrate is having a day off together.
Yeah.
Where we're not out doing anything. We're not answering the phone. Don't bother to call me. I won't be answering the phone.
Yeah.
And we're just relaxing and appreciating the fact that we're still alive mm-hmm. and we have a warm place to be and something good to eat together. I'm not interested in any of the other stuff at all.
And even though this is a home cooking show and I am on that show talking, the fact that I go to a restaurant for Christmas, it just, that for me is the thing that allows me to enjoy my family. It allows me to enjoy the holiday and not have to, even if other people clean up, I'm always worried about if they're tossing around the wine glasses I love, or you know what I mean?
Yes.
There's no stress for me. It's so easy for everybody. It's delicious and it's easy for me. And I do a lot of home cooking, but I've just found that the holidays are so stressful that works for me.
All right. We need to talk off air about where you're going for Christmas dinner. Maybe we'll see you there.
No, you have to make your chicken.
I can make my chicken anytime. I can make my chicken anytime. And I do periodically. What did you do for dinner last night? I did scampi. What'd you do?
Oh, well, two nights ago, and that's what had me thinking about prime rib roast, we grilled some ribeyes. And so, you know that cook once, eat it twice thing. So we had ribeyes the night before. And so then last night I just made steak salad. So it's just lettuce, tomatoes, onions, cucumbers. We had some avocado and then steak and then some blue cheese dressing.
Yum.
And so that's really good. And then I really like homemade croutons, and I'm sure I've talked about that before, but I even keep bread that's going south. If it's bread that I've made that I like a good sturdy bread that'll hold up to being a crouton, then I don't even heat up the house with the oven or anything. I just turn on a frying pan, a little bit of butter, a little bit of olive oil, saute them up, hit them with some garlic salt. Woohoo! They're warm and it's good.
It's
and so we
really
had steak
good.
Salads. How about you? Yum. What did you make for dinner? Do you remember?
Yeah, I made scampi.
Ooh, no.
Shrimp scampi with the local, you know, like Oregon prawns and just spaghetti pasta.
Okay.
And a whole lot of garlic and some olive oil and a little butter and a little white wine and that's it. And a green salad.
Okay.
That's my, look, it looks like a real meal, but I only had 20 minutes. That's my.
Your go-to.
That's my secret. Yeah. So, and it's also one of my husband's favorites. And isn't that part of, I don't know, for me, I guess it's a really huge part of cooking is who am I cooking for?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I feel about them? And you know.
If I don't like somebody that I'm cooking for, this is so awful, but I'm like cutting my fingers and nothing is working. It's just like, ah! But I think especially like, you know, cooking for your husband, I think that if you're married, you should make your husband's life or, you know, your spouse's life easier And you should feed their senses. And cooking is such a big part of feeding their senses. You know, that's just such a big part of being married.
It's a pretty, to me, it's a pretty important ritual of, not of cooking, because really, frankly, I don't want his help.
Oh, no, not
but,
cooking together.
But actually,
God, no.
Share, no, please. And frankly, don't do the dishes either. That's why I have a machine. Don't touch anything. But...
Back off. I love you.
Yeah, right. Well, there's the way making a reservation. You know what I mean? That's the way somebody else who loves you can treat you without actually entering the kitchen. Because we have, you know, I have an office. He has an office. We have spaces.
Oh, yeah.
But I do really love to sit down at a table with him. Mm-hmm. And I love, even if I'm not eating a lot, I love that whatever it is that I made is pleasing, you know?
Yeah, feeding
his
senses.
It's the same way cooking for my dad. You know, it's just when you, that's one of the powers of food.
Well, and it's an expression of love.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you make something that's good and you made it for someone, it just shows love. And I think that's why it's so hard to cook for people you don't like.
Well, there's that no word.
Oh, it's so salty plus blood. Seriously.
The two major ingredients. I think we shouldn't necessarily be cooking for people we don't like, because cooking is a sacred gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why, really?
Because they're
unless you're
at
trying
the house
to...
and they're hungry.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. There's no accounting for company, right?
No, so... no.
Maybe we could turn things around by cooking just the right thing. I don't know.
Hey, this is kind of cool. I found... our house was wrecked in that storm of 2007, and one thing I lost was my recipes. No.
What?
Which was really, of course, for me, awful, because I don't have that, like, recipe store and brain, you know? But I found in a book a recipe in my 14-year-old handwriting from this neighbor lady. Her name is Irma Bergendahl, and she made this killer fruitcake. It was really dark and delicious. I don't like the light colored fruitcakes, the really dark molasses-y ones I really like.
Yeah.
So, but I've never liked a fruitcake better than hers. And I know 98% of you out there don't like fruitcake, but I don't care. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so I found it in a book, and my mother was not domestic. She had people for that, but she wanted me to learn those things, so she farmed me out to Irma Bergendahl, and she taught me how to clean house and how to cook and all this stuff. So I found this recipe, and so I've got all the fruit for it, and I'm going to make it between now and Christmas, and I am really excited about that. I don't think I've made it since I was in college.
Wow, you just found this recipe?
Yeah, in a book that survived the storm.
Oh,
like I'm on a recipe card that I wrote, but it wasn't with all my recipes that got wrecked, and so it was in a book that survived.
So I have a fruitcake question. Is this a fruitcake that you can eat immediately? This isn't one that you have to keep in a can for 6 months and add booze to every.
I know that she would
weeks.
Add booze to some of them, but I liked it both ways.
Uh-huh.
And so it has like a super low cooking temperature, like 275 for 3 hours. There were a lot of weird things, like she canned eat her own orange peel, which I don't think I'm gonna do,
but it's so good.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm pretty excited to make that. So that's on my list for this coming week. And
cool. And
I think rather than like making a whole bunch of cookies after I've just made so many cookies or anything like that, it's just going to be this fruitcake, because it's a treat for me too.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited about that.
I love fruitcake.
Yeah, I do too. Oh, no.
When I lived in Hawaii, we used to make a Hawaiian fruitcake, which was a light cake.
Okay.
It wasn't the dark cake,
I still
although
love
I'm
you.
With you. I like the dark cake. So it really, this... It was called Hawaiian fruitcake, but it really wasn't fruitcake at all. I mean, by the real definition. But it was a light cake that just had macadamias and candied pineapple in it.
Oh,
holy cow. That was really good.
That sounds really good.
I need to try to find that recipe. That was a good cake. Hey, we're running out of time, and I wanted to remind everybody that coming up on the 21st, which turns out to be this Wednesday, what has happened?
2 days away.
I know. The 21st, North Coast Food Web sponsoring a pop-up farmer's market.
The last one was so good.
It was so great. And we've added a fisherman to this one. So there will be seafood. There will be local meat. There will be local cheese. There will be local produce.
Right on.
So
and all indoors. You don't have
all
to
indoors, yes.
Suffer and swim to get
yes.
there.
And fabulous treats to eat from North Coast Food Web. Anyway, it is on the 21st from 2:30 to 5:30 at the North Coast Food Web building, which is 577 18th Street in Astoria. You can go to northcoastfoodweb.org and find out about recipes and more information. It's 10 o'clock straight up. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Yep, just get yourself on 18th Street and look for all the murals.